Welcome to Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez, and here on Simple Life Radio, we focus on the real life experiences and perspectives of the folks on the Central Coast of California. This show was born from a love of story, storytelling, and a desire for a deeper connection to nature, one person at a time. Our guest today on Simple Life is local Linda Holliday, who holds a 6th degree black belt and has devoted 3 decades of teaching Aikido. She founded Aikido of Santa Cruz in 1982. She holds a master's degree in East Asian Studies from Stanford and speaks fluent Japanese. Welcome, Linda Holliday Sensei.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's nice to be here.
Tell us, Linda, what originally drew you to Asian studies and then later Aikido?
Well, originally, I started Aikido in 1970, and I was a student at UCSC.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd been interested. I mean, that was the 70s. It was the counterculture time, and there were a lot of things, a lot of interest in Asian things, and yoga and Buddhism was starting to come over. And
that's true.
So I heard about Aikido, and there happened to be a class that was being held at UCSC when I was first year student there. So I just decided to take it.
Wonderful. Well, and it seems as though something really resonated with you, because having, you know, learned the language and lived in Japan. You did live in Japan for a while, didn't you?
I did. That was after I'd started Aikido. It was Aikido that took me to Japan.
Seems like the culture or something that you encountered just really struck a chord with you.
I think it was the mind-body unity, that concept, that practice of mind-body unity that really resonated with me. And when I started Aikido, I mean, Aikido is a martial art. It's a very physical activity, but it's also a mental and spiritual practice. And when I started Aikido, I was a student, and I really hadn't done any sports particularly or anything very physical besides hiking and, swimming. So I found that it was a great intro for me into the world of the body as well as Asian philosophy. So the combination, what resonated with me, coming from a rather intellectual place at that time, was this unity of mind and body that I hadn't really conceived of before.
And for those listeners who may not be familiar with Aikido at all, can you describe perhaps the meaning of the actual word and how it is a martial art and somewhat different at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the name Aikido consists of 3 concepts or 3 characters. I meaning harmony, ki meaning energy or spirit or mind, all of those things contained in the word ki. And the word do means the way, as in the way of life. And it's the same character, Chinese and Japanese character, as dao, the way. So Aikido doesn't have an easy translation, but it translates into a sentence or a long phrase, the way of harmony with energy, the way of harmony with spirit.
Mm.
Yeah. And it is definitely a martial art. It comes out of the long tradition of Japanese martial arts that the founder of Aikido studied a number of those, a number of different kinds of jujitsu, weapon systems, all of that. And he was born in 1883. And so we're going into, you know, the 20th, early 20th century. So he studied martial arts and also was raised in spiritual practices and disciplines and put them together into Aikido. So modern Aikido is both a martial art, a non-competitive martial art. So it's a physical activity, a very enjoyable, very engaging physical activity. It's non-competitive, which makes it very modern, very good for the modern age, where we don't really need so much competition as we need the ability to cooperate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the philosophy of Aikido and what I subscribe to. Mm-hmm. So it's a physically based martial art, and very spiritual in its outlook, in the emphasis on the principles of harmony and of connection between people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had, in 1982, been apparently so well versed in this that you decided we really need to get a dojo established in Santa Cruz. How is that as an undertaking?
It was a big undertaking. But, you know, you just do one step at a time. And actually, what had come before that is I had gone to Japan after I'd studied Aikido for a couple of years here. I got so enamored with it that I just went off to Japan in a very 20-year-old sort of way. Without much preparation.
Of course.
It's a great decision I made there to do that, and ended up living there for several years and studying intensively. When I came back, my life had changed. My outlook had changed. I felt very dedicated to Aikido as a life path, and I began to teach at the University of California at Santa Cruz. So I taught there for six years.
Okay.
And after that, teaching a lot of classes for a lot of years and having developed a wonderful group of people doing Aikido in Santa Cruz, we formed actually a group, which I led, and started a dojo in town in Santa Cruz.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so that you had a dedicated place to really practice and support.
Yes, the dojo is a wonderful place. It's a community place. It's a place where you can have kids' classes and families come and do it together. It's a much fuller program than what we were able to do at UCSC, which was also wonderful, but mostly for the students up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, Monterey has a fantastic dojo, Aikido of Monterey, with their kids program, their adults program, their meditation program, you know, headed by Danielle Smith Sensei, who's one of the most experienced Aikido teachers in Northern California.
Uh-huh.
So it's a fantastic dojo. I encourage your listeners to check it out.
Well, actually, we've had Danielle Smith Sensei on this show. And for those of you listening, if you did miss that particular show, it is on one of our archives. You can find it there just by searching her name. And it was a delightful interview. She also is very active in the Oban Festival that happens in San Jose each summer.
Mm.
And that, I know, is a really popular opportunity to kind of see what happens in the dojo. And there's various age groups and expert levels demonstrated at the Oban Festival.
Yeah. Aikido of Monterey is kind of a sister dojo to Aikido of Santa Cruz, my dojo in Santa Cruz.
Great.
And we do things together sometimes. And Danielle Sensei and I have been friends for 40 years.
Oh, wonderful. What a great practice to share in your friendship,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, really wonderful.
So one of my burning questions before we get to talking about your book is how it is to be a woman in our modern culture and have so much skill and agility and mind-body connection in our society today, with so much emphasis in our modern culture on power and speed and power not always in a healthy way. How do you find you draw from your experiences for the last 30 plus years to really deal with practical modern day life?
As a woman, you're asking about.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the interesting, wonderful thing in Aikido is that there's a lot of power in Aikido. There are many powers in Aikido, and it's the power of nature, and you could say the power of harmony. So it's power with rather than power over. And this is a really important distinction in our modern society. And a lot of people, a lot of us have experienced the negative side of power. Someone has power over us, or we feel oppressed or abused.
True.
And so it's important that we don't just have a negative view of power,
mm-hmm.
that power the power of wind and water and air and sun and the power of love. You know, those are all marvelous powers, the power of harmony, the power of community.
Mm-hmm.
So in Aikido, we really cultivate those powers. And it makes the techniques of Aikido, the martial art techniques of Aikido, effective. And so we learn that to unify yourself with the power of nature or to really cultivate the power of love is not something weak, but something powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't isolate you. You don't become a power wielder. It's, it's a power with other people.
So a steward of power, using it in a way that supports life.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just remembering back the time that I spent with Danielle Sensei here in the studio, she spoke of the extreme emphasis on respect that is part of this practice and certainly supported in the dojo.
Mm-hmm.
And as I listened to you describe Aikido from your perspective, it includes that respect and perhaps the respect keeps things in balance to some degree in terms of power.
Definitely. And respect, there's always self-respect and then respect for others. And we cultivate that. You know, the practice of Aikido is a great philosophy, but one of its gifts is that it is a method, right? There's very specific methods in Aikido where all of these things are developed. So for instance, the cultivating the spirit of respect for oneself and for others, one of the very simple and repetitive ways we do that is through the Japanese practice of bowing.
That's true.
You express respect with your body. You don't flop to the ground. You actually sit in a very dignified way or stand in a dignified way, and you find your center, and you bow. It's a gesture of respect and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
We do that frequently in practice. That's not the only thing we do, but one of my teachers, Frank Duran Sensei, once joked that Aikido is a system of bowing with a few techniques thrown in for interest.
so that's an exaggeration,
but it is, but the spirit of respect and gratitude really pervades the practice.
That's beautiful. Well, Linda Holiday Sensei has just recently published a book that is Journey to the Heart of Aikido, the teachings of Motomichi Anno Sensei, and it is available at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden, where she will be on Saturday, December 7th, from 4 till 6 p.m., signing books and meeting people and discussing all aspects that are of interest. So, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back shortly to continue talking with Linda Holiday Sensei on Simple Life Radio. And we're back from that break. We're in studio today with Linda Holiday Sensei. She is the founder of Aikido Santa Cruz and the author of her new book, Journey to the Heart of Aikido, The Teachings of Motomichi Anno Sensei. And Linda Sensei, I wanted to ask you, I understand that when you lived in Japan for a period of time, that you actually were a personal translator for Motomichi Anno Sensei in his workshops and trainings. Is that right?
Actually, it's a little different. I have done most of my translation for Motomichi Anno Sensei, my teacher, here in the United States.
In the United States.
Yeah, and then sometimes I translate for him in Japan. But, you know, most of the time in Japan, he doesn't need a translator.
I guess that's true. Oh, my mistake.
There have been some international seminars in Japan that I have translated for him in those seminars, but mostly it's been in this country. I've brought him here to teach seminars since 1999. That was the first year I was able to bring him over. And I was just so excited to bring, you know, my favorite teacher from Japan over.
Wow.
He was almost 70 at the time, and now he's 82. And he's been here oh, close to 20 times.
Oh, wow. So your new book is really a compilation and an organization of all of the time that you spent with him. And I love, I have to really compliment you. I love how you just really organized it so easily. I mean, as a reader, I was able to go through and understand his life and the relationship that he had to the art, the science of Aikido, but also the actual teachings themselves. And I really appreciate the time and attention it must have taken to put that together.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. It did take years. At first, I just, when I brought him over to teach here, I was just kind of astounded at how beautifully he taught to people outside of his own culture. And people were so inspired by his teaching about the heart of Aikido that I thought, you know, this needs to be a book. But I'd never written a book before. Uh-huh. I really had no idea how to do that. So I just recorded him for a long, you know, whenever I could. And then I started translating, you know, this is all from Japanese. And it took many years to come up with a structure. So I'm glad it works well for you.
Yeah. And I noticed that the book is endorsed by Thich Nhat Hanh.
What a thrill that is. It really is.
How did you connect with him to actually share the work you've done?
Yes. One of my Aikido students, is also a student of Thich Nhat Hanh. And also another student of Thich Nhat Hanh's is a student of a very good friend of mine who is a writing teacher in Santa Cruz. So I have some personal connections, kind of friends of friends. And I'm, you know, just thrilled to have the beautiful support of a teacher of that stature, of someone who doesn't do Aikido, you know, to kind of acknowledge the fact that that Aikido really is based on universal truth. And so it has many things in common with other paths, with other spiritual paths. Mm-hmm. So anyway, through my students and so on, I contacted him, Thich Nhat Hanh, and his staff. And I was just really moved by how loving they were and how, you know, helpful they were. And so dreams do come true.
Well, and it's so nice to have that correlation between the two practices, one of spirituality and, of course, meditation. Thich Nhat Hanh's, probably his earlier book, Peace in Every Step, is very much dedicated to peaceful living and harmony. And then the practice of Aikido, obviously very much in alignment with that. I wanted to ask you, Linda Sensei, there were several references that I came across in the book to bridging into whatever communities we happen to be a part of, bridging into those communities with an affect of harmony, to be able to spread that as a pattern, I suppose, in whatever circles we keep. And I would love to have you share your perspective of what that means in practice. Now, practicing in the dojo is one thing, yeah? So the same principles, how do they become practiced in community?
Mm. And yes, and the practice of Aikido being done in a dojo, it's kind of like a lab, you know, I mean, you don't call it practice for nothing, you know, it's a structured situation and various techniques and practices that develop skills, and you get the feeling of it and the feeling of what we call blending or harmonizing both physically and kind of energetically with another person. You know, it happens very naturally that feeling and that way of interacting with other people, this respectful, harmonious, energetic, and fun way of interacting with other people, that naturally spills over. Just about everyone who studies Aikido, even for a short time, reports that, you know, it becomes a part of them. And then as soon as they walk out of the dojo, they can feel, you know, the Aikido in them. That if, say, they're going into a meeting, Mm-hmm. You know, they're going into a meeting at work. They tend to feel more what we call centered and more relaxed and more of a sense of connection with the other people. So you don't feel like you have to go away to become calm and centered.
Right, and have the right music and the right scent in the room and the right pillow to sit on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, I think it was one of the early Buddhist teachers in America who said, was it Daisetsu Suzuki? I forget the name of his name, but he said he looked at Aikido, this was a number of years ago, and said, oh, this is Zen meditation in action.
Ah,
you know, so there's that sense of that you bring the awareness, the flow, the clarity as much as you can to the interactions with other people. And I think in Aikido, the concept of no enemy or no opponent is very important. And that's, of course, a foundation of peacefulness, right? Of not seeing other people as opponents or enemies. So we practice that in Aikido. And then when you go into a situation that might be somewhat confrontational or you worry about that in advance, then you can find your Aikido training helps you not see the other person as an opponent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go into your job interview or you know, just walking down the street. You know, you don't see enemies everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have a greater chance through Aikido training of not seeing enemies everywhere. And it's a much more pleasant way to live.
Well, it sounds much more pleasant. You know, as I'm listening to you speak, I'm reminded of one of my favorite books in the bookstore, which is The Art of War. And oddly enough, with that title, it really isn't about war as we think of that word and the meaning of it. And in there, one of the teachings, there are several teachings, but one of the teaching is to not put yourself at the disadvantage of thinking the other person is the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's very practical. It's not, you know, the love and the harmony in Aikido is not just hearts and flowers for hearts and flowers' sake. It's actually very, very practical, very effective tools for living.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. Well, I, you know, during the break, I was sharing with you that I actually studied Aikido for a few months, not very long, and I was so taken with the principles that Aikido is based on, and also that it utilizes in practice, as you say, on the mat and just in communication, that I draw from it. I mean, it's part of me now, and I really believe that it is one of the most simple, easy to follow, easy to understand practices that a person could adopt and would complement everything else you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no conflict, literally, with anything else, at least that I've been able to find.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your experience too?
Definitely. And the, you know, you can call Aikido a spiritual path, but it's not like a religion or something. It's not like you have to, you know, like, oh, you couldn't do this if you were a, you know, a Buddhist or a Christian or something like that. It's a more natural, you know, we are spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, we are body, mind, and spirit. So Aikido as a method of training enables us to train, to develop ourselves in all those different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It seems to make everyone that I've met, it seems to make them, I would say, receptive, aware, and calm
mm-hmm.
all at the same time.
And some people, see, everyone who comes into Aikido is different. So Aikido is kind of a balancing mechanism or holistic development. So people, for instance, who come in and they're, you know, who start Aikido and they're very, very shy, they actually become more outgoing. They might become more boisterous, you know, more expressive.
Ah.
So it's very interesting as an Aikido teacher to try to facilitate, you know, this or to facilitate this growth.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I noticed in your book, Journey to the Heart of Aikido, there is a section titled Unity with Nature, and it particularly caught my eye. And the discussion here is about the natural environment and that the teachings really encourage being in alignment with what's natural. Can you speak a little more about that?
Well, there's several aspects to that. in terms of nature, first of all, in Aikido and the movements and the techniques of Aikido, we emulate nature in the sense of the flow of water, you know, the spaciousness of air, the kind of warmth and lovingness of, you know, the sun, that sort of thing. So there's, and the solidity, the groundedness of earth. So there's a lot of emphasis on aligning ourselves with natural elements or natural principles. And then I think there's a quality of naturalness, which we might call relaxation, you know. So when you get into a situation that might be a high intensity situation, let's call it, you know, a self-defense situation, or let's say you're in an argument, you know, or something, a performance, you know, anything that's high intensity, then the Aikido training is, you could say, it cultivates a quality of naturalness or relaxation that is also very useful for people who practice Aikido, and is useful in their lives.
I can see how that would be. And it strikes me as a particular perception that would actually have someone appreciate nature even more.
That's one of the things that my teacher, my primary teacher, Anno Sensei, really emphasizes, is remembering that we are a part of nature. I mean, we are a part of nature, but we forget, or perhaps our lifestyle doesn't reflect that. And how crucial it is at this point in human history that we remember that we're part of nature, and that we are sustained by nature, and that we can't break nature, we can't ignore nature, or, you know, we do that at our peril.
True, very true. Yeah. And so timely a message. Yeah, I think many walks of life would agree with you on that message. Definitely.
And it's important to put that out in so many different ways.
Yes.
Because it really is the survival issue of our time.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's so true.
So Aikido is one of the ways and paths that emphasizes that awareness of humans as one part of nature. And the founder of Aikido, Morihei Ueshiba, he said the true spirit of Aikido and of the martial ways is the spirit of love and protection for all things.
Oh, beautiful.
So love and protection for all means a sense of all people, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you aren't just like nice to your friends and then nasty to your enemies, you know, but trying to cultivate a sense of harmony and love towards all people.
Yeah.
And then, but it's not just all people, it's all things, as they say in Japanese or Chinese, all existence.
Uh-huh.
So we want to have a sense of protecting the earth, you know, protecting nature. That's part of our mission, is, again, not to just be nice to certain people, but to protect, love and protect all.
And to recognize, perhaps, that as we observe nature, we are also a part of nature.
Yes.
We're not separate or in a position to lord over, but live in unity with.
Yeah, so that's the power with and not the power over,
yeah,
that we were talking about. Yeah,
yeah,
very
really,
important.
Really appreciate that distinction.
Yeah.
There's another aspect, before we go to our second break here, there's another aspect that I wanted to get your perspective on, and that is the section Living Spirit. And you had referenced earlier in our interview today how Living Spirit is a part of the teaching, that it is a way to understand energy, it's a way to understand mind, and I particularly am drawn to the fact that it uses the word living as if it's constantly in motion and shifting and breathing, you know, the way all living things do. Is that really a correct translation on my part to put that spin on it?
Living spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah. In that section, Anno Sensei was talking about the term ikutama, which is something that the founder of Aikido, a term he used to use, ikutama, and sometimes it seems very esoteric, but he breaks it down as he does. He has a simple way of explaining things, that it literally means living spirit. And I think the quality of life as flow and change, energy flowing and changing, I think is all around us. You know, it's a clear truth, you know, that things that live change.
Yeah. True.
And that the in that section, Living Spirit, what Anno Sensei was focusing on too is a sense that we want to, when we're practicing Aikido, is to put not only practice it with your body and accumulate knowledge about it with your mind, and then you go to the you can go further and really put your heart in what you're doing. Mm. And this, of course, you could say is the techniques of Aikido, but clearly is applicable to anything, right? Mm-hmm, it's not just body, not just mind. You put your heart into it. And then when all of that kind of comes together and it becomes deeply a part of you, that's when you're really living the spirit. Mm-hmm. Your spirit is really living when all of you is vividly alive.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put. So if people are trying to get a hold of Aikido of Santa Cruz, Linda Sensei, maybe you can tell folks how to get a hold of you there.
Yes. Well, Aikido of Santa Cruz is our Aikido school in Santa Cruz. It's on Mission Street, 306 Mission Street. We're a nonprofit educational organization, and we have classes for adults and also kids starting 6 years old, very popular programs. And we have a website, AikidoSantaCruz.org. Very easy to remember. AikidoSantaCruz.org. Mm-hmm. And you can also call us at 831-423-8326.
And she did that so gracefully, holding her center. Her book, Journey to the Heart of Aikido, The Teachings of Moto Michi Anno Sensei. Our guest today, Linda Holiday Sensei, here on Simple Life. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. And we're back from that break in studio today with our guest, Linda Holiday Sensei, author of Journey to the Heart of Aikido, and more information on the book at her website, journeytoaikido.com. I wanted to ask you about your time in Japan. You lived there for how long?
About 3 years. It was in the 1970s.
Uh-huh.
And I go back every year for a visit.
Ah, wonderful. And how was life in Japan back in the 70s?
How was life in Japan?
I mean, well, lifestyle differences or cultural.
When I went there, I first went to Tokyo, you know, which is just, it was like the biggest city in the world at that time. I'm not sure it still is. But I don't really like big cities very much. So, and I was taken down to the smaller city, very small city of Shingu in the Kumano area of Japan, very remote. So that's where I spent most of my time, was in a very remote part of Japan. You know, the steep mountains, the beautiful waterfalls, the rice paddies.
The things you see in pictures.
Yes. Yeah. And the rural culture, very traditional culture. So I was a 20-year-old American woman from California who suddenly transplanted with very little language skills into very little Japanese language skills at that time into a very traditional hierarchical Japanese environment.
Wow.
So it was a shock and wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful, but difficult to adjust to at first. And I studied like crazy on my own to learn Japanese so I could speak with people and understand my teachers.
They say that's the best way to learn a foreign language.
And the most painful. But absolutely, you know, because you pick up the rhythms of the language and the way people actually speak.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In fact, you know, where I lived, they speak a dialect of Japanese. So I developed a kind of an accent in my Japanese, a little bit like a Southern drawl, which I think was weeded out of me when I came back to UCSC and studied Japanese academically after I lived in Japan.
Uh-huh. Lovely. Did you consider the lifestyle there for yourself to be somewhat exotic?
Exotic. It was different. It was more more primitive in some ways, you know, back then. Things have changed in the last 40 years, but, you know, I was out in the country and, you know, the houses were not heated in the winter. And, you know, there were pit toilets and, you know, people didn't drive cars very much.
Oh, that's a variation of exotic.
Yeah. And also it was and still is the Kumano area in particular, and maybe traditional Japanese culture in general, has a lot of spirituality just woven right into it. So there are a lot of temples and shrines and people. You walk down the street, you hear people chanting, you know, in their houses. You know, just doing the Buddhist chants to their ancestors every day. You know, things like that. You see these ropes and white paper streamers that are tied around things to indicate a sense of sacredness, a sense of respect. Like tied around a big tree or a rock or something. You know, the reverence for nature as a spiritual entity is very strong in traditional Japanese culture. And I loved that because I grew up in the, you know, going to the Sierras and camping in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And that was my favorite part of childhood, was being out in nature. So in that sense, it was not exotic. That was just wonderful. And then there were many aspects that were very foreign to me.
Yeah. And so after spending 3 years living in that environment, where it sounds like it was very peaceful and somewhat quiet with much less modern industry and transportation around, you came back to California.
I did. And I felt like a foreigner. Actually, after 1 year there, I came back. And then I spent some time, you know, earning some more money to take just so I could go back to Japan again. But even after 1 year in that very, very foreign environment out in the remote countryside, I came back and I felt like a foreigner. It took me a while to get comfortable again in my own country.
A bit of culture shock.
Culture shock, reverse culture shock. You know, I didn't expect it. So yeah. it packed a wallop.
I'm curious, what was one of the first things that sort of struck you when you came back?
The houses were hot. They were heated. Yeah. You know, I came back, I think, I don't know, in February or March or something like that. And the houses were heated and people sat in chairs. I was used to living on the floor, you know, on the tatami mats in Japan. They don't, at that time, now they have more Western things 40 years later, but they lived on the floor. And I got used to that.
And was it hard to sleep in a bed again?
That was not a problem.
Okay.
But back then, you know, I got back, it was 1974, and in Santa Cruz, and people were very warm and kind of laid back, and I was used to people being more focused.
Oh.
And then also, there was a lot of hugging going on, and in Japan, they don't hug.
Not much touching.
Not much touching. Yeah. You know, they're very sensitive to each other. But not much touching. They really respect each other's physical space by not touching.
Uh-huh.
And so I remember having a hard time when people hugged me, but I got used to that again very quickly. I'm a big hugger now.
Hugging is medicinal. In
yes,
my
it is.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering if there is a simple, single-focused message for your book titled "Journey to the Heart of Aikido." Was there an intention that you had to this book, putting the message out to the public?
Yes, my goal is to put out, to make accessible these teachings of Aikido in a simple form that speaks to the heart, so that the teachings of Aikido, which my teacher Ano Sensei would say are basically love, gratitude, and harmony.
Hmm.
Love, gratitude, and harmony. These are the fundamentals of Aikido and the fundamentals of life. And that to put those out there in a way that people would understand that is the aim of Aikido, that it's not just a physical activity or something, or some combative martial art. And so that Aikido is a path with heart and a path that that many people can undertake with wonderful benefits in their life, and that people who don't do Aikido personally or actively will still recognize and appreciate and be inspired by these teachings of Aikido that will inspire all of us to live from the heart.
That's beautifully put. Thank you. And, you know, we've had a lot of news the last couple of years and even to date about the disaster in Fukushima. I understand that's not specifically located in an area that you lived when you were there. But the culture, once again, was actually pretty obvious. Given this was a huge emergency situation, people were not really hostile, particularly impatient. I heard reports come over that when this was at the most intense part of the emergency, that it was striking to see people being patient, waiting in lines, being very calm and kind to one another.
Sharing
what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that is separate from what we're talking about in terms of Aikido, but I really am questioning the relatedness between the culture and the specific practices of Aikido.
Yeah, it was wonderful to have that that great strength of traditional Japanese culture, the collective sharing, the sense of valuing the community, and not thinking of yourself as a separate individual, you know, fighting against others, but as part of a collective, part of a community. That you could say traditional value of Japanese culture, but I think that's just a traditional value, don't you think?
Oh, that's a very good point.
That we may, you know, some of our cultures may have lost, you know, in the kind of modernization and the urbanization and, you know, I don't know what all the reasons are, but these traditional values that are still very strong in Japanese culture of taking care of each other were just clearly evident and brought out in the world news. And I thought that that was very inspiring. And yeah, you see that just in all sorts of ways in Japan, the way they think of other people. It's just brought out as a very clear value of thinking of how to take care of other people and not just being in it for yourself on a personal level. You know, a corporate level, you know, I can't speak to that. But on a personal level, I, you know, see it all the time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, even when you're there and table manners, for instance,
yeah.
If there's a pot of tea and you want some tea, you don't pour tea for yourself. It's ingrained in Japanese culture. You first look and see if anyone else needs tea. You offer the tea to everyone else. And then maybe at the end you pour for yourself, or perhaps you put the teapot down and see if anyone will pour it for you.
Oh, beautiful. That just sounds like a focus of unity. You know, there's a filter that everyone looks through that is the filter of unity with mm-hmm. all living things. And I send my heartfelt thoughts and prayers to all the people of Japan and all of us who are affected by this nuclear disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I see us learning the value of nature and keeping all things healthy and happy as a way that we all can continue our life experience on the planet. And I just, we need to figure this out. Definitely.
That's beautiful.
I wonder if you would be so kind to tell us your favorite book of all time.
Well, I have read many books, and I can't. I don't think I can pick one that's my favorite of all time. But one that stands out to me is a book that I read very early on, I believe, as a student. and I've read it so many times since then. It's called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind.
Mm.
And it's a classic.
It is.
Yeah, by Shunri Suzuki Roshi, one of the original Zen teachers in America. And it's a small book, and it's written very, very simply and very basically. Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, a lot of emphasis on beginner's mind, being open to new things, not being stuck in your ways, this sort of fresh experience of reality that I was very struck by as a young person and influenced by that. And my first Aikido teacher, Robert Frazier Sensei, who had studied with the founder of Aikido, also had studied many and was studied many other philosophies and was a professor of philosophy and religious studies at UCSC. And he introduced me to a lot of books like that. And so right from the beginning, I had a sense of Aikido not being a singular activity, but something that is connected to the Buddhist path and the yoga path and, you know, all these different ways of living a good and spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
So Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind.
Thank you. And what are you reading now?
I'm trying to find time to read right now. But one of the things I read recently was a beautiful book by Thich Nhat Hanh called Love Letter to the Earth. And it also is written very simply and very much from the heart, and has a sense of this deep ecology to it that I feel so strongly about, and that runs through the deep teachings of Aikido as well, a sense of being part of the earth and being related to the earth and having that really be a love relationship.
Mm. We do have that in the bookstore right now, actually. Love Letters to the Earth by Thich Nhat Hanh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's been a distinct pleasure to have this time with you in studio and to share you with all of our listeners to Simple Life Radio. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's been wonderful.
As I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, Linda Holiday Sensei is at Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden today, December 7th. And she's there in the store available to meet any individuals interested in talking to her, certainly signing her books. And so if you head on down there, parking shouldn't be bad. You'll have a chance to meet her personally, and I encourage you to do that. I want to thank all of our sponsors for this show, and co-sponsor for this show is Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden, located in downtown Carmel by the sea, on Dolores between 5th and 6th. We have almost been playing for a full year, Simple Life Radio, here at KRXA 540 AM. And so we have a few weeks left to finish out our year. And I've decided that on December 28th, the last Saturday in the calendar year of 2013, to be my own guest. So I'm inviting any of you who happen to be listening out there to send me an email with questions that you'd like me to consider to add into that show that I will be answering. Go ahead and send those questions to simplelife@pilgrimsway.com. That's PILGRIMSWAY.com. And I would be happy to receive those from you. I think it's going to be a fun show, so stay tuned and listen in for that show, where I am my own guest on December 28th, 2013. And that's going to do it for our show today. I look forward to being here with you next Saturday on Simple Life Radio, KRXA 540 AM.